So now I have an interesting topic. I saw the title of his book, and as soon as it came across my email, I said, okay, I want to interview this guy. And his name is David Bahnsen, and he has authored the book called Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame, and How You Can Cure It. And in this sort of day and age, when every political dispute, every dispute, every movement, every sort of cultural wrong, there's somebody being blamed, and people are looking for scapegoats, it seems like, more than they are looking for answers. And, you know, we have a lot of people complaining, a lot of people protesting, a lot of people having movements, but yet are people coming up with solutions? So I think this is an incredibly timely topic. So we're happy to have you, David. Thank you for coming on.
It's great to be with you.
Okay, so how did you come up with this book?
Well, the genesis of the book was actually my study of the financial crisis. I was a managing director at Morgan Stanley, one of the largest investment banks on Wall Street, throughout the whole crisis. I've since left and started my own wealth management business. But basically, I became obsessed with studying the financial crisis for a lot of reasons, professionally, and also I just think wanting to get to the bottom of exactly what happened and what it would take to keep it from happening again, and having lived so up close and personal through it. And I found, after reading literally 75 books on the subject, I reviewed over 50 of them, that essentially right down the line, there was either, and this was the most prevalent narrative, the belief that Wall Street and greed, corporate greed caused it, and that was a very common left-wing viewpoint. And then for those on the right, there was the belief that bad government policy, Fannie Mae, you know, an overly accommodative Federal Reserve with low interest rates, that there was some sort of governmental cause. But what neither side was saying was what I found to be profoundly true, and that was that Main Street was not the victim of the crisis, but at best case, a co-culprit, if not the lead perpetrator.
And so everybody was to blame, really.
Everybody was to blame. And that actually is what made things so difficult, is that there was a little bit of truth in what everyone was saying.
Everybody was right and everybody was wrong.
That's exactly. Well, everybody had a role to play, but the willingness to give Main Street a pass, to say that people were not responsible for certain actions because of the malfeasance of others, it was a narrative that I just couldn't live with. And
well, how did Main Street? Tell me about that. Tell me how Main Street contributed.
Well, at the end of the day, we had a financial crisis because you had a significant amount of people walk away from homes that they could afford to keep making a monthly payment on. We had a financial crisis because you had a significant amount of people walk away from homes because they couldn't afford to keep making a monthly payment because they bought a home they couldn't afford. And the very rare cases of the honorable and righteous who continued to make their payments, they didn't cause the crisis.
Right.
And in the very, very,
it
very
was the people
rare
who
cases,
couldn't afford them and knew it, and people who were speculating. People. I mean, there were a lot of people who, I mean, I remember at that time when my husband and I were looking at houses, and these banks would tell me, oh, yeah, you can borrow, you know, this much amount, and this is what you can afford. And I would look at them and say, well, no, I can't. You know what I mean? And you yourself know that there's a breaking point where, you know what, we probably really can't afford this, or these balloon loans that people would get, knowing full well that they were not going to be able to find $100,000, you know, in 3 years. And so I do agree with you that there were people who probably could have been more responsible and weren't.
And I think that with Wall Street, you can say, well, they were to blame for helping provide the capital that was used for a lot of it, to the extent that Wall Street leveraged up on the bets, they were incompetent.
Absolutely. Putting all these loans into these, you know, securitized products and reselling them and you know, that, yeah, that was that. So, yeah,
it,
you had some government
insane
problem
and
there.
Yeah. You know, I think that the issue, though, is that what Wall Street did was bet on Main Street, and Wall Street was wrong.
Yeah.
Wall Street bet that people would continue to make the payments.
Yes.
And it bit them hard. And I think that the concept of the whole book then grew out of this study and this understanding of the financial crisis. And this is the most important thing I can say. It was not merely that so many people acted so recklessly and that there was such economic irresponsibility that gave way to a crisis. It was that socially and culturally, it was acceptable. People could actually go to the bar on a Friday night and brag that they had given four condos back to the bank. And that was just
and that
unheard
was okay.
of.
And it was okay to
unheard
do that.
Unheard of like, in no, American
people were,
history.
Well, and people were, yeah, I mean, in any other time and place, people would have been mortified if they couldn't pay their mortgage. I mean,
that's
just
right.
mortified. And so that is interesting. And but then, I mean, Wall Street, they didn't take as much responsibility as they could have either. So what you have is everybody cross-blaming, right? Which I agree with you. I think that is permeating all of our culture, not just in the financial area, but the political completely. So how do you cure it? So how do we identify that that's what we're doing, and how do we cure it?
Well, and I think that the answer in the second begins with the first, and I think this is sort of a common understanding as to how we deal with problems. You can't cure them unless you're willing to acknowledge them.
Right.
So getting to the point of noticing the blame casting that I think has become so politicized and so tribalistic that not an incident goes by in the news, not a single interpretation of an event, apart from kind of putting on our polarizing blame casting lenses. So one of the things I try to do in the book, and I happen to be a lifetime devout conservative Republican, is point out that to those on my own side that rightly criticize the size of government, we have to recognize that we have the size of government we have because we have such poor self-government from the people, that our total complete degradation of mediating institutions of the family, of churches, of communities, of civic organizations has given rise to a completely unacceptable size of federal government. So I believe that whether one's on the right or the left, so much of the blame casting that goes on has to stop and then be pointed internally to understand what we can do to generate stronger culture. And in the book, I walk through all sorts of the different manifestations of this and topics at which we see it, from the family to housing to trade to immigration to school choice, higher education, all of the kind of big issues that are so polarizing today, trying to evaluate them through a lens of individual responsibility.
Well, and I think the other thing is too, is so when you blame and when you engage in constant blaming, it makes it so easy not to really come up with solutions. I mean, I feel like it's a substitution for actually working through issues in a way that, you know, where people can come to the table. I mean, we have a political environment that if people, you know, actually try to work something out with the other side, that's disfavored. We have a culture that wants to overcome people instead of come to the table with people. But I do agree with you 1,000% that you first have to look at yourself and say, are you really offering a solution or are you just blaming? And does blaming get you any closer to fixing it? Because no one can say that the financial crisis was, you know, there was one root cause. There was just one wheel that was moving. And that's what happened. Of course, I mean, there were so many different factors that went into it. And all of which, like you say, deserve some blame. That you can never fix a problem like that if you don't acknowledge the various, you know, blame or at least cause. I mean, if we could just get rid of the blame game and get to the cause game.
Well, and I think that that's exactly what the book is trying to encourage people to do, is even in those cases where there really is legitimate, wrongdoing, where there is bad policy or there was bad action by another, to kind of repudiate that attitude of defeatism and victimhood and focus on solutions. So believe me, everything you're saying is exactly what I believe from the bottom of my heart and what the book is written to speak to, that we have to get past that blame casting before we can get down to solutions. And I think that there are a lot of people in society that want to take responsibility for their lives, and yet they frankly see so many others who don't, that they get kind of held in place. They say, what's the point of me doing the right thing if when I see my neighbor being rewarded for doing the wrong thing? And I'm kind of encouraging people to just stop that attitude, to do the right thing because it's the right thing.
Right. And don't measure yourself against everyone else and feel like they have control of your life. Because blaming really means you're giving control of your life to someone else.
Absolutely, you are.
And you're turning it over, which is, you know, it seems to me that that's not something people would want to knowingly do. Well, I will tell you, I'm very pleased to have David Bahnsen with us, and he's the author of Crisis of Responsibility, or Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. Even your title made me think, and it made me think about the language that I use when I talk about issues, that is this really blaming or is this really trying to get to a solution somewhere? So maybe even with one small start, you got one person to start thinking about their language a little bit better. So that's good. Your message is getting through, and we really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. You've made my day. If it's already helping change some of our own language, that's a good sign.
But that is
really,
a good
thank you very
sign.
Much. I
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
And I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll check back in someday.
Sounds great.